Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to Coffee Talk XL. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening on talkradio.nyc, or you're watching us live right now on Facebook at facebook.com/talkradionyc, all one word. Don't forget, you can get the podcast after the show. You can get the podcast right off of talkradio.nyc, or you can go to Apple, Spotify, wherever it is that you get your podcast every week. So this week was kind of a crazy week because I had a guest that was lined up that was going to be this week. They had to move to next week. And I don't want to say that my buddy coming on later is my backup plan because he's somebody I would have on the show anyway. But I'm excited for next week. Obviously, I'll get into what we're going to talk about this week. But next week, I've got a woman that's going to be coming on for the second half of the show. I actually might make this a full interview the entire show. I'm not sure yet, but basically I'm completely intrigued by real crime shows. And I mean, I've been as an actor, I've been in multiple, you know, 8 or 9 different national TV shows as a co-star where I played either the detective that figured out a real crime, or I played the villain that committed the real crime. And I'm completely, you know, enamored with Forensic Files and these kinds of things. I mean, I watch them all the time, literally all the time. Well, one of the shows that I dove into and binge watched, and I'm still completely intrigued by, is the story of Stephen Avery and Making of a Murderer, and the 2 seasons for that, and the fact that he's still in prison right now, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, in any event, I kind of have been following that on social media, and I reached out to the woman that runs the Facebook page that's called Stephen Avery Innocence Project. Her name is Jax Wells, and she's going to be on the show next week to talk about the case, to introduce people who haven't watched the Netflix. And I encourage anybody between now and next week, watch both seasons of it'll go by like that. I mean, it's, you know, 6 hours each season, something along those lines. But I've always kind of had a thing for, and probably part of this is various things that I've gone through in my life, but I always believe in the good in people, no matter who it is. I really believe that deep down we're all good, and we make mistakes and we do things that are wrong. I also believe that sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction. This happens to be one of those cases where I actually believe that it's plausible that Stephen Avery and Brendan Dassey, his nephew, are innocent. So next week, tune in next week, because I'm going to have her on the show. She's deep in it, and she's obviously an expert in it, and is very much involved with that entire thing. So next week, she's going to be on my show. So very excited for that. Tonight, I'm actually going to, you know, in the first half of the show, I'm basically talking about myself or talk about my life. And it particularly as it pertains to either acting or athletics or the business world, where I own my companies and whatnot. So I'm going to talk about acting. This week has been a crazy, actually last 2 weeks have been crazy on like the acting side of things, which has me encouraged and excited that I feel as though hopefully that industry is coming back now. And I'll get to that second half of the show. I've got my really a great buddy, a great friend for many, many years. Gary Wilson is going to be on the show for the second half. Gary was the head track and field coach and cross country coach. And then he retired from the track side and was the cross country coach at the University of Minnesota for many, many 28 years. He was at the University of Minnesota, 40 something years in college coaching. He had the privilege of coaching Gabe Anderson, who then got married and her name's Abe Grunewald, and she is somebody that had to deal with tremendous adversity as an athlete, as a human. She passed away in 2019 after a decade-long battle with cancer, multiple battles with cancer and multiple cancers, in particular one cancer that there is no cure for, there is no treatment for, and ultimately she passed away. But her bravery, her spirit, it lives on. There's a website called BeLikeGay.org. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that whole her spirit, and Gary had the opportunity to coach her. Sadly, I mean, and I can't even begin to get my head around the tragedy that happened yesterday, Monday, where Gabe's younger sister, who's only 29 years old, was hit by allegedly a drunk driver and killed. And I mean, my family has been through a lot. If you've followed my show all through the years, going way back to the original Coffee 10 something years, 12 years ago, I've experienced, and I haven't lost a child, but my sister buried a baby way back in 1995 to leukemia, 2.5-year-old. Then she buried her husband. And then she passed away last year. And I raised her three kids. And so my parents have had to, my sister's had to bury a child. My parents have had to bury a child. And as sad as I was, I cannot even begin to think about how sad that is. And then now that family has been hit again. And my heart just, I'm telling you, man, my heart like just breaks even trying to think about what their parents are going through. Anyway, I'm going to have Gary on because we want to keep that spirit alive. And there's a lot of fundraising that's going on, and there's a road race in September. And we'll talk about all of that here in the second half of the show. So first half of the show, as I was saying, on the acting side of things, it does feel as though things are beginning to pick up. And I know my acting friends are feeling the same thing. There's a lot more auditions coming through. There's a lot more castings coming through. Now there's new rules. We've got to be careful with the whole pandemic. And last week, SAG came out and said that on union projects that they are moving to mandatory vaccinations. And wherever you fit on that world, me personally, I'm fully vaccinated. I think everybody should be fully vaccinated. I'm not going to tell somebody that they have to do it, but in reality, when I hear that somebody's not vaccinated, of course, in my head, I'm like, well, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? But people are going to make their own decisions. But listen, man, if you want to work, then you're going to have to do it. And it's pretty simple. If you don't want to get vaccinated, then you're also saying that you don't want to work, at least as an actor, because moving forward, you're going to have to be vaccinated. Thankfully, I am. And that's where we are. But in the last 14 days, I don't know what's happened, but I typically do about 5 or 6 auditions a week. And this is pretty consistent for, I mean, I've been an actor for like a decade, you know, so I've done literally thousands and thousands of auditions. But this past 14 days, actually only an hour ago, before I started the show, I got another callback. And so in the last 14 days, I've had 20 auditions and 3 callbacks. Now let's see where those land. You know, I mean, obviously doesn't really mean much if you're not booking them, but you know, I mean, I've booked hundreds and hundreds of acting gigs over the years. And so, you know, the world of acting is great because we're always trying to help each other. It's different, I think, than other worlds. It's definitely different than athletics, where I came from, where obviously everything is type A and everybody's trying to do the best that they can and get their program. And, you know, it's athletics. It's winners, there's losers. In acting, in the world of the arts, it's so much different. I feel as though it's a lot more communal and community-based and encouraging. And so a lot of my acting friends ask me, because I do book a lot. I mean, I'm blessed in that way. I've done so many gigs, and I'm usually booking. In fact, before the pandemic, I had literally eight straight years going into the pandemic, where I booked at least 3 gigs a month for 8 straight years. And sometimes even more than that. And I don't do background work. I don't do extra work. So obviously I've kind of got the whole auditioning thing down. And so I wanted to just kind of, people ask me different questions all the time. And of course I belong to Facebook groups for actors and where they're, you know, you post questions because, you know, you're just trying to start out, you're just trying to get it done. And so hopefully there, you know, in this second segment, I got to stop for a commercial here in a second, but I can give you some advice that might be helpful as you're trying to navigate your way through and even put yourself in a position to audition. And when you do audition, what are some of the things that you really got to focus on to put yourself in a position to either book or get a call back and move forward? Because I think that there's a lot of disconnect there, particularly with new actors, where they just don't know what to do. And they ask for advice. And a lot of times they're getting advice from people who also don't book. And so from somebody who does book a lot of gigs, you know, we're going to share a little bit of that here in the second segment of the show. We're going to pause for a quick commercial break. We'll come back here in just a minute. You're listening to Coffee Talk XL. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you're on talkradio.nyc. Have you ever thought of reinventing yourself? Are you looking to create a new life's journey? Hi, I'm Kevin Barbaro, host of Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 5, 8 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live to hear me and my guests from a variety of different backgrounds. As a former college coach and a current full-time actor and owner of multiple companies, my show is as eclectic as my life. That's Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Andow, for the show, A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, we journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday, 7 p.m., so tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back, everybody, to Coffee Talk XL. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening on talkradio.nyc or watching us on Facebook at the Talking Alternative Broadcasting Facebook at facebook.com/talkradio NYC, all one word. So getting back to what we were talking about before the commercial break, we're talking about the putting yourself in a position to be successful as an actor. And now, I've been an actor now for, you know, almost a decade, and have been really blessed to have I've been on thousands and thousands of auditions, literally thousands. I've booked hundreds of gigs. I've been, I've done over 150 commercials. Now, when people ask me, they say, "Well, are you just a commercial actor?" I like to eat, man. I like to get paid. So yeah, I am a commercial actor. There is nothing wrong with being a commercial actor, because you are in and you're out and you're paid. And it's an opportunity always to be in front of casting directors. It's an opportunity to be in front of the camera. I'm at the point now in my life and in my career where I no longer get nervous. You know, way back in the beginning, first starting out, kind of everything is kind of hinging on trying to get the next gig. And now I'm in a position where I never even get nervous. I just put myself in a position to try to be successful. But I think that there's a lot of actors. And honestly, I have friends who are actors and have been acting for a long time. And I think in some ways people are trying to, I don't want to say they're trying to skip steps, but in essence, that is what they're doing, is trying to skip steps. And a perfect example. So I've been asked, and people ask this all the time, should I be on the different, should I pay for the premium service on the different casting sites? So like Casting Networks and Actors Access, those two particularly, Backstage, particularly if you live in New York, but you don't have to live in New York to be on that. The simple answer is yes. Yes, you need to pay. You need to put yourself in a position where you are getting as many of the open casting calls as possible, and you've got as many assets, meaning your headshots and your reels and everything else, on those websites. This is a price of doing business. You have to understand that when you go into the world of acting, you are going to lose money at first. That's every business that there is, every business that ever existed, unless you won the lottery. When you first start out that business, and you should be treating your acting career like a business, you are going to lose money at first. And you just have to be cool with that, and you just have to understand that that is the price of doing business. But you have to put yourself in a position on these different casting sites. So yes, the answer is you are not all in unless you're all in on these sites. That's one thing. The other thing is people try to skimp on the headshots. I mean, I can't even begin to fathom when I see other people's headshots sometimes, and I can tell, anybody can tell. I'm not even a casting director. You can tell that this wasn't done within the context of a headshot. This is like a glamour shot, or this is, honestly, I've seen some that were just done, like it looks like they were just done on an iPhone. And you've got to go to somebody who is well respected. And listen, don't go to the cheapest guy. I mean, some of these are fairly inexpensive. You don't have to go out and spend $2,000 on headshots. And trust me, if somebody, and there are people out there that'll charge you that. If somebody's going to charge that much, then obviously say no. But if somebody's willing to do your headshots for free, A of all, or they're willing to do them for $50 or something, you got to wonder what the quality is going to be like. So take the hit. If you're not spending at least $100, that's kind of low ending it, but you need to spend the money, get yourself in front of some, and you need to take a look at the different headshots in their portfolio, because I have a particular look as an example. So with me, I was drawn to photographers who do headshots that portray more of like the theatrical look or with kind of like a darker tone to it. You know, I'm a dark skinned Italian guy, and I wear black 99% of the time. That is who I am. That's my color. That I feel like those kind of photos really bring out those aspects of me. So I sought out people to do my headshots, and I paid the money for it so that I have you know, great headshots, or and you need to update your headshots. I see people all the time who haven't updated their headshots in years. And particularly if you're my age, particularly if you're a middle-aged guy or woman, your look is constantly changing. And it, first of all, your look should be trying to change for the better, because you should be, you know, always working on trying to enhance your curb appeal, I guess is the best way to put it, and, you know, put yourself in the best position possible to be noticed. Because in the world of acting, there are thousands of me. There are thousands of white middle-aged guys out there that look Italian or whatever. There has to be something about me that stands out. So you need to put yourself in a position so that you're creating those opportunities for yourself. And one big thing that I think that people miss out on is that you have to be honest with yourself. When you go into the world of acting, you really have to take a good hard look. First of all, you got to figure out if this is what you really want to do. Because if it's only like kind of something that you want to do, then you're really setting yourself up for some major disappointment and wasted time. Because if it's not for you, then find something else, man. There's plenty of other things to do where tons of people can tell you no all the time, because that's acting. You know, you get told, I'm on thousands and thousands of auditions in the world. The funny thing about the world of acting is they don't even tell you no. They just ghost you. They just never call back. Like most of my dates in my life, right? So in any event, you've got to, you know, before you even get into this, you need to be comfortable with who you are. And you need to take a good hard look, like I did. I had to take a good hard look at myself. Like, you know, what kind of a person am I? Visually, inside, you know, and what are my own insecurities? You know, because everybody has insecurities. And what can I do to enhance the good things about me? And what can I do to work on the things that I'm deficient in? And so as an example, for me and the type of roles that I get, it's important to me to always be in the best shape that I can. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody needs to make that a priority. Because maybe that really has nothing to do with what you know what you want to do as an actor. But for me, because I do a lot of fitness shots and I do a lot of these things, it's important for me. So I spend the money, I invest in myself, I spend hours every day to make sure that I'm in the best shape that I can. You have to make sure that you're constantly trying to evolve your look. And what I mean by that is, because styles change. So, you know, just as an example, if your facial hair is like that skinny, you know, beard that comes down like this and it wraps around, if you're rocking that right now, chances are the only thing that you're going to get cast in is a movie about Seattle in 1994, you know, because that was the last time anybody looked like that. And it unfortunately, I see my friends, you know, it's like, hey, man, you know, I mean, I guess I would think about just changing. As a matter of fact, my facial hair has changed. It's evolved over the years. And probably the best karmic thing that ever happened to me was I was on a shoot for Northwell healthcare system. So Northwell used to be Long Island Jewish and a bunch of other hospitals. Well, they all converged and they became Northwell. So I'm on the Northwell shoot, and they spent like crazy money. Like I'm almost embarrassed to say how much money I made for like a half hour of my time, because it's like high end, you know, Vegas, you know, escort money or whatever for half an hour. And but in any event, I'm in hair and makeup. And I had been rocking the same goatee. I probably was rocking the same goatee for like 10 years, right? And the girl said, "Have you ever thought about this? Is hair and makeup? So, like, would it be okay if I trim your goatee?" And I'm thinking, in my head, why would you need to trim it. It's this, I just finished trimming it. But I'm like, yeah, sure, how about it? And she's like, snippity, snip, snip. And all of a sudden I'm like, whoa. It never even crossed my mind to shape it like that, you know? And so in any event, I mean, so my goatee is kind of like evolved over time because it shapes my face in a particular way. Because like I said, I mean, beauty is only skin deep. We all know this, right? I mean, you're taught this from the time you're 5 years old. The world of acting is a weird place to be in. And because the very first thing that somebody's going to see about you, the very first thing a casting director is going to see, or a director or anything else, is your headshot. And so if you don't have a good headshot, if you don't have a modern look to you, if you don't have a haircut and facial hair and clothing and style that is indicative of the time that we're in right now, you're doing yourself a disservice. It sounds completely ridiculous and vain, but the reality is it's true. And so it's one of these things where it's like, do you want to work or do you not want to work? Same thing with getting vaccinated. Just like I said earlier, you should be getting vaccinated. Everybody should be vaccinated. In my opinion, everybody. I don't understand why people, I haven't gotten it done yet. I'm like, the hell are you waiting on, right? I mean, it's free. I'm making an appointment for you right now, 5 minutes. But if you want to be an actor and you want to be in the Screen Actors Guild, you have to be vaccinated. That's the new rule. Anybody on set's got to be vaccinated. So sure, you don't need to get vaccinated, but that also means you don't want to work. You don't want to spend money on your headshots. You don't want to spend money on casting networks and Actors Access. That's cool, man. You know, that's cool. That's your life. That's your decision. But do you want to work or do you not want to work? And that's really what it's going to come down. And honestly, that's every business ever. That's athletics, which I was involved in for many years. And you're either in or you're out. You can't have one foot in and one foot out. It doesn't work that way. Anyway, speaking of athletics, I got my good buddy, Gary Wilson. He's going to be my guest after this next commercial. I'm Kevin Barbro. You're listening to Coffee Talk XL on talkradio.nyc. We'll be right back.
Do you feel uninformed about menopause and how it impacts on your life? Hi, I'm Pat Duckworth, women's health strategist and host of the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Join me every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. UK time on talkradio.nyc for interviews with inspirational women who will share their top tips to rock your world.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Uh, Welcome back, everybody, to Coffee Talk XL. I'm Kevin Barbro, and you're listening on talkradio.nyc. Got my good buddy, Gary Wilson from the University of Minnesota. What's up, man?
Hey, man, how are you?
You know how I'm doing.
I'm glad you told me that this was live, so I'll keep my language a little better.
Yeah. I always send everybody that email that I sent to you. And half of the reason that I send it is because everyone has a potty mouth like mine. And I have to remind people that, like, we're actually we really are live. You know, there is no editing this, man. There's no tape delay. And I appreciate. Yeah, there you go. And the other thing is, you know, here on talkradio.nyc, which is our broadcast station, it's more of like an NPR-ish, you know, so, you know, we try to keep it cool, man. And which is a shocker. They got me on here, right?
You're good.
I've been awesome, man. I've been just, you know, living it up, brother, living it up. So for my guests on here that are outside the world of track and field, Gary was the head coach for women's track and field and cross country at the University of Minnesota. Many years, spent 28 years there. The last, 8 years was as only stepped back from track and just did cross country, but coached for 40 something years and is in pretty much every Hall of Fame. You're in my Hall of Fame, of course, you know, but you're in pretty much every other Hall of Fame that you've come across. And Gary and I, we go way back in coaching, and we've actually spent time in Europe together. Shockingly, he's still married after all that. Well, I mean, we all know, as you've always mentioned, you've always admitted you overshot the runway with Susie. So that's just the way it is, man. Just being honest, bro. Just like the last segment of my show. Hey, man, you got to be honest. You gotta know you. Yeah. But I was thinking about, man, I hit you up on Facebook today about what happened with Abby Anderson. And for my viewers that aren't in the world of track and field. So I mentioned it a little bit in the beginning, but basically Reader's Digest, and I want you to chime in and give more context to it, but there's a woman that ran at the University of Minnesota. She started as a walk-on. She ends up being NCAA runner-up, and her name is Gabrielle Anderson. And then she got married after college, and the last name was Grunewald, and she went by Gabe. And so Gabe, when she was in college, and I'll have you explain a little bit more about this, she was diagnosed with cancer, and a really rare cancer that apparently there's no cure for. And sadly, she lost that battle. And we'll get to the middle part here, which she lost that battle in 2019. She was only 32. She battled it for like 10 years. And there's a new, they started a foundation, Brave Like Gabe, because of her spirit and her courage. And we'll talk about that. And she had a younger sister who also ran at the University of Minnesota. And then yesterday, I mean, you just can't even wrap your head around it. She is hit and killed by an alleged, and I got to say alleged, you know, drunk driver who runs over her twice.
Unbelievable.
And she was 29 years old. And in my head, I can't even begin. And you know their parents. I know you know their parents because I know your relationship. How are they even holding up right now? Have you had a chance to? I mean, I can't even begin to think.
No, I talked to her brother a couple of days ago, and then I talked to one of my alums tonight. They're not in denial. Obviously, they're just. Kim, her dad, told somebody yesterday, I think she says, we just get in our car and ride around because we don't know what to do. And it's just, it's the most, I, when I got the, I got a text from Sarah Hopkins, our cross country coach, and Matt Bingle, our head track coach, Sunday morning, and they said, "You need to call us." And I went, what are you talking about? And then they told me, and I went, I mean, I just sat down. I just was like, oh my God. And I, it was just like, this can't be real. And her parents are, they're just devastated.
Yeah.
The whole community is. I mean, it's just, you know, not just because obviously she's Gabe's sister, but just because of her spirit and who she was and on our team.
Yeah.
I talked to Chris Button today, Bucky, and little Bucky ran for me at Minnesota. And he told me a story. He says, the first day that Kate walked into the locker room as a freshman, she met Abby Anderson, and Abby just jumped. Hey, it's great that you're here. We love you. You're going to be a gopher. And that was Abby. Abby was just a live wire. I mean, she was just energy, crazy. It was just awesome kid. And so, you know, that she's as much responsible for the foundation as Gabe was in terms of just pushing it and going after it. And,
yeah.
You know,
so yeah. I know that she was spending a lot of her time, you know, promote like the road race that, and we're going to mention it here in a minute, but it's in September and it's up in the Twin Cities, but there's a virtual aspect to it because the foundation, and I typed this down for myself because it's such a rare cancer. I didn't want to get it wrong. So it's adenoid cystic carcinoma. And apparently there is no cure, and there's not even a treatment apparently. The foundation is to raise money to go towards that research in that, you know, cancer, man. I mean, fucking, you know. But I know that Abby, she went by Abby, I'm assuming.
Yep.
Yeah. Abby was obviously very involved in the promotion of that right up until, you know, this happened. Take me back to Gabe and kind of let's talk a little bit about what made her different. And if you noticed it right away, or if this is something that kind of built on, because I know that she went there as a walk-on, meaning that she had no scholarship. But I know that you recruit your walk-ons also, you know, so this girl didn't just show up out of nowhere.
No.
Take us through that process.
Well, Gabe might be, she might be just as stubborn as me. Okay. So that was our start. And so I recruited her all the fall of her senior year in high school. And it was just like, I'm going on. I'm just thinking about her dad wanted to go to North Dakota or North Dakota State or, you know, someplace out there. And, and I kept calling her. And I just got, so finally I just said, no, this is stupid. This is not going to happen. I'm, you know, the heck with it. And so I saw her high school coach, at the Minnesota State High School Clinic in January. He says, aren't you recruiting Gabe? I went, no, she's a pain in the butt. I said, this is a waste of my time. He says, no, you just got to call her. She'll come around. I said, no, she's not going to come around. I said, I got moved on. So finally I did relent and I called her, and then she says, well, you know, and I'm going, oh my God. And so finally I said, okay, listen to me. You come down and visit, at least come down and visit. Well, she literally, you know how somebody just walks in your office and you go, this is the kid. And she just walked in. I went, okay, now I'm not going to give you, I was going to give you some money, but now you've ticked me off a little bit because she's a 5'08 miler, you know? So she was, but you know, the kind of kid that you and I love, you know, you just get those kids.
5'0" and 11'0" bro.
Oh boy. No kid.
Yeah.
And so we just, you know, and so I said, okay. And so she, but then she tells me later, I've always wanted to come to Minnesota. I said, well, we could have, you know, but she was a tough hombre. She was interesting to coach because she was just tough. And mm-hmm. she was around a bunch of people that were tough. It was like, oh my God, you talk about crazy people.
Yeah.
They'd all come to practice. There was about 10 of them that were just, I'd tell them, I said, listen, just don't talk to anybody else today, okay? Because you're going to scare these poor freshmen to death.
Right.
But they could work out, and they were tough, and they had great energy, great friendships. And then, you know, the rest was history, so to speak. She got hurt as a sophomore and redshirted and blah, blah, blah. And then when the diagnosis came, it wasn't even diagnosis. We were at, I don't want to jump too far ahead here, but
no, it's okay.
We were at Arizona State. And this was, she'd had a little lump on her neck, you know, just kind of wasn't quite sure what it was. So she wanted to see the doctor before we went to Arizona State. This was like in March, I think it was Sunday or some one of the classics out there. And so, and so he said, well, you know, call me when you're out there. Well, she calls and the doctor says, you need to come in and see me on Monday. This is serious. And so she said, she calls my room and we go down by the pool. And she says, can I talk to you about what's happened? I said, sure. She says, well, the doctor's really concerned. And he says, like, we can't wait. We're going to have to operate. And she's going, whoa, what are you talking about? And then of course the whole team, not the whole team, but the distance team came down together and they just lost it because they knew, they said, this is not good. And because it is, you know, he knew it was a rare cancer. And so long story short, the kids were just decimated. But in true attitude, she said, I said, well, I'm going to send you home right now. She said, no, you're not. I'm staying. I'm going to stay and run the 1500 tomorrow. I said, okay. I said, go at that time, it was only like 424 or something, 423. Mm. You know, she did that. And so then she... You know, then she went home and had the operation soon. I mean, like, you know, maybe within a week, took all of her, not all, but all, basically all of her salivary glands on her, let me see, left side of her face. And you can see it. I mean, if you see her pictures and you turn, you can see that they took a lot of her face, side of her face off. And then she, you know, then she had chemo and did the whole bit, and she was in remission, quote unquote, for quite a while, like 3 or 4 years, and then all of a sudden it came back. And I'm talking a little out of church here because I don't have the whole timeline, but it was at the 2012. No. This is, I don't know what year it is, but 2012 Olympic trials. And she goes and she hugs Justin, her husband, or maybe it was 2016. And she felt something. She just felt, he's a doctor. And so he said, something's not right. Well, she goes in and finds out that it's now spread to her liver and they took half her liver. That's why the big scar on her stomach.
Hey, Gary, I got to stop for our next commercial break, our last commercial break. But when we come back, let's pick up from that point right there and we'll move forward. So you're listening to Coffee Talk XL. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and this is talkradio.nyc.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back, everybody, to Coffee Talk XL. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening on talkradio.nyc. Make sure that you go to Spotify or to Apple, and you'll be able to get the podcast after this, probably tomorrow, depending on how lazy I am. But I've got my good buddy, Gary Wilson. You're going to have to unmute yourself again, brother. I've got my buddy, Gary Wilson, longtime coach at the University of Minnesota. We're talking about Gabe Grunewald. I just actually put in on the Facebook video in the comments, I put the link to her foundation, which is bravelikegabe.org. And we wanted to mention that they do have a fundraising 5K that's coming up. It's on September 26th. And you can go and you can register online for that. Now, it's in the Twin Cities. It's in St. Paul. I think it's in St. Paul. Yep. But you can run. It's a virtual run also. And the proceeds go to the Research Foundation for Adenoid Cystic Carcinoma, which was what Gabe ultimately passed away from. So you were saying that at around 2012, then there was an issue with her liver, which would have been a different cancer.
Well, it's the same. Usually that cancer metastasizes itself in the lungs. Well, this into the liver, and so it was the same. It just moved. And
gotcha.
No, I should back up a little bit to what in 2010 when we got the 6-year of eligibility for Gabe. And then she went on and was the national runner up in the 100. People said to me, well, you must have done these great workouts. I said, we didn't do any workouts different. She was in charge. She just was like, I'm on the line. Says, you think I haven't got any problems for this race? This is nothing compared to what I'm dealing with right now. And
right.
Then the next year she gets out, she's going, you know, she's going to go pro, you know, she's from 13. I'm going to go pro. I said, well, that's nice. I said, who's going to pay you? Nobody. What do you mean? I went 4:13. I said, nobody cares. You know, just like you were saying, acting or whatever. No, nobody. I said, and this is gay. You know, she said, we got to have lunch. I got to talk to you. I said, why don't we do that? So we sit down for like 2 hours. Just, I deserve money. I said, you don't deserve anything. I said, nobody cares. Nobody cares about you as a runner. I mean, nobody cares that you have cancer. Nobody cares anything. Well, what do you mean? I said, just what I said. So, well, when will I get money? When you run like 4:01 or so.
Right.
And then she ends up running 4:01.
Right.
she was the kind of kid that you could say, No, you're talking stupid here. You got to understand this is the way the game is played. And so she was tough. The whole journey was, I'm never giving up. And I think if people that are listening to this go to the Brave Like Gabe webpage, they're going to see her whole story. I mean, there's great videos, there's great interviews. I just sent a brave like Gabe Kopp and a note to a kid at Stevens Point who's going through the same thing. And she says, I'm so inspired by Gabe and da da da. And so I sent her this cup and she said, oh, I'll never get rid of this. And, you know, she's inspired me. And so she did that for everybody. I mean, she just was a warrior. I mean, and I don't know if you know this story. So she's dying. I mean, she's like Friday, she dies Tuesday. Friday, her husband said, your whole system is shot. You're not going to make it. He said goodbye. She wakes up the next morning and sits up in bed and goes, not today. I want a and a Coke and I'm not dying. Basically, I'm not dying today. Okay. Yeah. And then 2 days later, she's passed away. She was just
fighting to the end, baby.
Oh, she was going down for the count. I mean, she just was tough. And the things
go ahead.
Well, the things that Chip and Joanna Gaines did for her, you know, with the Magnolia Project that they've got down in Waco, and they had the whole marathon for her, and they gave her $250,000.
Wow.
For the foundation, and they still donate. And they came up, they were there the day before she died, redoing her office and stuff so that, you know, Justin wouldn't have to do it. And they were at the funeral. And so that's the stock that her and Abby and her brothers, the three brothers, they come from that Perham, Minnesota, you know, stock, you know, tough, this good people, great family. They took no quarters with anybody.
Well, you know, I one thing, and I know that you had this same philosophy as a coach as I did, and one of the things that I always was preaching to people, and of course I would have been nice to take my own advice at some point, but you know, what you should be working on in life is your legacy. What are people going to say about you when you're gone? Because at the end of the day, all we've got left are the memories. Nothing else matters. Doesn't matter how fast you were. Doesn't matter how many medals you won. None of this crap matters. Were you a good person? No. Were you tough? Were you lazy? You know, I mean, whatever you were, whatever that stamp is, that's it. And by far, she embraced that, literally, what you're saying, all the way to the end. And I know that you guys, so you were heavily involved in the fundraising at Minnesota to build the track after those knuckleheads tore it out and we're going to build another one. And the new women's locker room, is there a thing for her there?
Yeah. Right. It's called the Brave Light Gabe locker room. Yeah. No, by the way, I didn't fundraise for the track because I refused to. I said, you know what? Oh. You guys tore it up. You guys pay for it. I said, no, I'm not giving you one damn dime. Excuse me. But Susie and I, we raised $750,000 for the locker room and for donations from the kids, basically from the kids. I had a walk-on kid who's now a doctor, gave me $50,000. She just brought her credit card one day. She says, well, I did it for the girl. I said, well, good.
Well, I like that fighting spirit because, you know, they like you said, they tore it out. It's like, hey man, you tore it out, bro. I mean, I'm not going to give you a penny to redo something you should never have torn out in the first place.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Well,
as my boss used to say, you don't play well with others. I said, oh really? I said, what's your
yeah. Yeah. And let's move on to the next subject. It's not going to change. Yeah. Well, man. Well, Gary, listen, man. I know that you're really close with their family, and man, condolences. I didn't know her from anybody, but I knew what her spirit was, and I wanted to give an opportunity for people because, you know, a lot of listeners here on the show aren't from our world, and you know, it'd be great if even one person will go to bravelikegabe.org, you know, and help with the cause, man, because it was somebody that genuinely embraced, like we're saying, that spirit that, you know, you've got to go down fighting to the end. no matter what it is, life, right. You know, your job, your career, whatever it is, man, don't ever give up. It's like Jimmy V said, man, don't ever, ever give up, man. And it was so true, brother. Absolutely. Listen, man, I love you, bro. We got to cross paths again. Yeah.
Wait, and, I can't even talk to you anymore. You're like, I'm going to be your pool man. But you know what? It's yours big time. But if I'm your pool man, I'm not doing anything. I'm coming to sit by the pool and drinking a beer. That's all I'm doing.
Well, this is what I expect you to do as my pool man, is to hire a pool man. Gary, listen, man, I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Thank you so much for being on, brother. And I'll see everybody next week on Coffee Talk XL. And my guest next week is going to be Jax Wells from the Stephen Avery Project, which is going to be really fascinating. I'm really excited to have her on. You can get the podcast on Apple or Spotify, or you can go to talkradio.nyc. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and we'll see you next week.
Love you, man.
Love you, brother.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Did you know that nearly one in five adults in the U.S. battles mental illness? Hi, my name is Albert Dabba. I'm the host of the show Extra Inning. Extra Innings, I discuss the topics of wellness, mental health, and the experience of surviving multiple suicides within my family. Listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern to Extra Innings for discussions with sports figures, artists, mental health professionals, and many others. That's Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Have you ever thought of reinventing yourself? Are you looking to create a new life's journey? Hi, I'm Kevin Barbaro, host of Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 5, 8 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live to hear me and my guests from a variety of different backgrounds. As a former college coach and a current full-time actor and owner of multiple companies, my show is as eclectic as my life. That's Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.